Hi, everyone. Today is a very important subject for me today. This is Homes on Homes podcast, and this is about the construction labor shortage. This is a pain in my rear like you have no idea, and know that everyone else out there has the same problem. We have JT from True Build Custom Homes, and he's really good. He's been with us for about 4 years now. We have my son, Michael Holmes. He has an attitude, he has a point, and we're going to talk to him too.
This is my first time on your podcast.
You know what? I don't know why it's your first time on my podcast.
I don't know either. I feel like, you know, we had this talk. We're like, you should do a podcast. And then it's like a year and a bit later.
Is this because you were at home doing your gardening?
No, that was on the weekend.
That was on the weekend. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. Who knows? But here we are. That's the important thing, is we're here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. JT, you've noticed the shortage in trades. It's just like nobody seems to want to work anymore. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. In the last year and a half, we've uncovered quite a few issues with labor shortage. There was a very interesting article that came out recently from the Business Development Bank that had basically interviewed a whole bunch of companies asking about the labor shortages. And what they're saying is, after all these interviews, they're looking at the shortage for the next 10 years, the next decade, we're going to have the shortage. There's just not enough people looking to work full-time, number one. Don't have the skill set, number two. And number three, basically, they're just not aware of what's going on right now. And us as the contractors are getting the worst end of it. So,
okay. I have been running companies since I was 19 years old. And Mike, what's the math on that? How old am I?
29
times two.
So you've been in business about 10 years, give or take 30 years.
No, it's actually 40 something.
That's why I say give or take 30 years.
About 40 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time. At that time, we were hugely short in skilled trades. And I think it had a lot to do with moms and dads. You know, the dads that were in the construction trade, let's move backwards first. The dads that were in the construction industry, they were trying to tell their kids, I don't want you to get in the trades. My back is broke, my knees are gone, I'm working morning till night, you know, go be an IT, go be a doctor, get into something other than the trades. So that many years ago, moms and dads telling their kids not to get into the trades was a downfall. I'm in school, and in school, I took welding, I took sheet metal, I took carpentry, and this was all in grades 6, 7, and 8. Schools pulled that because they were trying to save money. That was the biggest downfall the government has ever done, was pulling it out of the schools because they're pulling out the temptation for the young. Would you agree, Mr. Holmes?
100%. I mean, I was fortunate enough to go to a high school that did have some of these programs. They had construction tech, they had woodworking. But I don't think there's
in enough. In 6, 7, and 8?
No, I'm talking high school.
I know, so 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Yeah, 6, 7, and 8, no. That's not even talked about. I think, you know, we've talked about this time and time again. We were already facing a shortage in the construction industry, in the skilled trades industry as a whole. And then the past year and a half, I mean, we are, talk about the next 10 years. We're going to have a problem for a long time until we address the root cause. And I think one of the root causes is chasing money. People saying you need to be a doctor, you need to be a lawyer, you need to be something where you get paid a lot of money. And we're not looking at it as doing what you love. Maybe working with your hands. Working with your hands, getting your hands dirty, is not a bad thing. I'm fortunate enough to have a father in the trades who encouraged me. Yeah. You know, he might say he forced me.
Oh, no, it was attempted. It was throw money at him.
He threatened you, basically.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you brought up in regards to chasing the money. I just recently had a incident happen in my business where I had three guys who have been working with me for the last number of years. Two were best friends, and the third guy was part of the company. And with a five-day notice, basically, they're saying, we're leaving, and we're starting up shop.
Wow. We're opening our own business.
Exactly. So now we have every guy that owns a $70,000 truck, goes to Home Depot, fills up his truck with some tools, calls himself a contractor, throws me out of the bidding process because he never knows how to bid the process.
Yep.
And then obviously when things go wrong, all the contractors get the heat.
Yeah.
You're a contractor. Oh, this is what this guy did to me last time. Well, so we're not that guy.
This is a really good point, because what we need to do is continue from approximately 40 years ago, because years before that, everyone was in the trades. Mm-hmm. Everyone was in the trades. We were making money. The country was being built. as time went by, attitudes changed in the next generation. And I don't want to say that they were spoiled, they were too cocky. I want to say more that opportunity became. In other words, they would work for people like JT, myself. And I've experienced this 6 months working with me. I would teach them everything. I'd make them work from morning till night, just like I did. And all of a sudden, they were pros and they wanted to get a business card and open their own business. Big mistake, big mistake. And the only reason I say that's a big mistake is you cannot learn enough in 6 months in the industry. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. This takes years. Sure, you've tempted, you've played with drywall, you've played with framing, you've played with structure. You're in there with a little bit of trimming. That doesn't give you enough experience to go on your own, open a company with insurance, and now take on the battle of dealing with clients that believe they know what they want, but you don't know how to tell them what they need. That was one problem. We can move further. The next problem, well, the first one was pulling it out of school. Second problem is what I just talked about. The third problem that I really started to see, nobody wanted to work from morning till night anymore. Like, I'll work 9 to 5, I'll work 8 to maybe 5. Mike, how many hours have I worked in my life?
I mean, I stopped counting, I think, when I was like 8 or so. But, you know, all joking aside, when I was a kid, you know, our parents separated, and I remember it was, we'll see Dad every second weekend. I remember my dad struggling to get that time off because he owned his own business. So struggling to take that time even to just see us. So what you knew was work. And, you know, I think there is a discussion to be had about that work-life balance. But I also think that for whatever reason, I'm not sure if it was the technology industry, you know, video games, computers, internet, all that came up on the rise within my generation. I mean, I saw that, you know, cell phones, everything happen where people were like, I wanted to get into tech, where that didn't that wasn't a thing before. So I think there was this interest of, you know, combination of what you said before, where my knees hurt, my back hurt, my back hurts, don't get into the trades. Here's another option where there's going to be a lot of money in the future. And I feel like that was also a big draw for people saying, like, you don't have to hurt your back. You don't have to work crazy hours anymore. You can get into tech. And now we're seeing the result of that is a labor shortage, material prices skyrocketing. We're having a hard time keeping up with the demand.
Right.
Yes. Everything you said is 100% valid and true. And as we continued into the years later, what has happened, COVID didn't help us at all. COVID actually harmed us in so many different ways. So let's talk about how it shut us down from the house. Material prices soared through the roof month after month after month. We were told by the government, you can only have so many people in the house. So that's electricians wouldn't come in when the plumbers are in. Plumbers wouldn't come in when the carpenters. Now this caused an influx in price. The downside to this is to all of you homeowners out there are paying for this. You're paying for the increase of the wood. A lot of this to me, I don't want to call it excuses. I get it, we were in a pandemic. I get it that we're learning from shit that's happened. Did I say that out loud?
It's your podcast, I think you're okay.
We're learning from what's become the new norm. CERB stepped in, which I think the government, I want to congratulate them on that, was that they tried to save, you know, the country. We know the United States did similar effects of this. The idea was to help people not go bankrupt, not lose their homes, not lose their jobs. Downside, right now, because CERB is still out there until October, I believe it's even now passed for a further date, they want to stay home and make that money and not work. And don't tell me you're not seeing that.
Absolutely. It's all because of that CERB. In my instance, when this all started off originally, and I was getting an influx of calls, and I'm like, what's going on here? Why am I getting all these calls for renovations all of a sudden? Where's all this money coming in from? And I happened to ask one of the clients and ask him, honestly, where did you come up with this money from all of a sudden? He goes, there's five people at home at $2,000 a pop. All five of us are working part-time on cash. We're making more money than we ever did before.
Right.
So here we are. Can you please do our renovation for us?
Now, just right? So you know, the government has already warned everyone prior that if we find out you are screwing the system, you will pay the piper. And those who did, you will pay the piper. It's a shame because what that has done is harmed all industries. Mm-hmm. Restaurants. They can't seem to get waiters, waitresses. I mean, this has hurt every single industry. Okay. I want to start talking about things that we can do about this. First of all, my son, Michael, me, my daughter, Sherry, she represents Women in the Trades. We are the ambassadors to Skills Canada and World Skills. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the biggest thing the world has ever done besides the Olympics. And I still do not understand why it is not televised, why I have been unsuccessful in creating a television show around World Skills. And I promise you, I'm not going to stop until I do. What I'm witnessing, and I know my son has, because we've been to, we've been to UK. We were in Calgary, Germany. We've been all over for World Skills. Every 2 years, there's a World Skills event, 60 countries, 47 trades, robotics, IT, you name it, electricians, pilots, helicopters, you know, automotive.
Pastry chefs.
Serving, mm-hmm. We can go on. 47 trades. 60 countries, over 1,000 people compete for gold, silver, and bronze. I've seen an increase in the trades, of women getting into the trades especially. High numbers, not just me. It's actually statistically proven higher numbers of women getting into the trades. Now mix this with the new world that we stepped into, which I love that the government has done this. If you're listening to the government people, putting money into infrastructure was the smartest thing you ever did. A, we're fixing the roads, we're fixing the bridges, we're keeping people employed, especially in the COVID time. Do you think, JT, that had anything to do with, because right now every highway's being worked on, every road's being worked on, every bridge is being worked on. Do you think that has possibly moved the renovation field into the infrastructure field?
The renovation field into the infrastructure world?
Sure, because they're making big money on bulldozers, tractors, you know, asphalt, you name it.
Absolutely. So we lose a lot of guys to that kind of infrastructure. So if a guy is working X amount of dollars for a renovation company, and all of a sudden there's an ad that calls for people for infrastructure, mm-hmm. they're being paid twice as much, they're jumping ship. They're moving over there.
I really had a feeling with that. I mean, we've never made so many tractors in years. We've never, yeah. the dump trucks are, holy cow, how many dump trucks? Like, let's go on the highway driving and count. Never mind I spy with my little eye, something that is blue. How about I spy with my little eye, how many freaking dump trucks are on the highway?
Yeah.
Or tractor trailers, which is a whole new job in itself. Yeah. Trust me, you go get your AZ license tomorrow, you got a job. In the construction industry, you have a chance of a lifetime. It's not about driving a truck. It's not about fixing highways. It's not about fixing roads. Your chance of a lifetime is to learn the trades. More people are happening every day. What does this tell you in science, in your minds? That means haircuts. Oh man, I could be a haircutter. Oh, by the way, that's the trades. I could cut hair. Why? There's going to be more people tomorrow, more people the next day, and so on. That's never going to change. I can tell you right now that welders are the right now in such high demand because there's not enough welders out there. Right? Mm-hmm. I can tell you the masons, you got an opportunity for life because we're going to be building every foundation for every new home of all these new people that are on this planet every day. When we look at statistic numbers and in science of where we should be thinking and where we should be going, why wouldn't you do the trades? My biggest complaint, I'm going to say this one more time, taking it out of the schools was the biggest mistake that was ever done. Because when I was a kid in grade 6, 7, and 8, I built a house to scale with 2x4s. It was all balsam wood, used a table saw, chop saw, we used it all. But I built a home. I was in sheet metal class. I was in welding, burnt my hand like you couldn't imagine. I'll never forget it, but I mean, I did, but I learned never to touch the metal after you torch it. Accidents do happen. In school, I was lucky enough to give that, not to mention my father was, you know, to me, Superman. Even though he wasn't, he was just a handyman. He just fixed stuff. You know, he fixed our houses. I thought he was Superman. It was when I got into the trades And I started doing it that my father realized how good I was, which, you know, kind of made me almost cry before he died because he told me how good I was. I just said, Dad, what are you talking about? Man, you can do this in your sleep. He goes, no, Mike, I can't understand anything you're telling me. I don't understand the codes. And I was like, oh, man. So you said a point, Michael, about not wanting to work so hard. Mm-hmm. Problem? How do we balance the system, mm-hmm. and how do we fix the system of getting more trade people?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things we've kind of danced around, but I think one of the biggest problems, again, we've said it a million times, is the stigma that surrounds the skilled trades industry. You know, it's the fact that we've come so far away from saying, hey, you should get into the skilled trades. Because like we said before, you should become a doctor, a lawyer, chase that money. A lot of those people, I went to school, when I went to George Brown, a guy that I was with, he had his degree in kinesiology. He had a degree in accounting. He goes, I hated it. I hated my job. And now he's one of the most talented carpenters I know. Mm. The problem is we're pushing people into other industries saying, oh, well, no, the high school dropouts, those are the people that get into the skilled trades. I've told this story a million times. My buddy who's an electrician, he's a commercial electrician. He works in Ottawa. He's working in a mall. Father and a son walk by and he overhears the father say, this is why you stay in school, so you don't become like him. Mm. Little does he know, my buddy's making great money. He loves his job. So he's doing something that he's passionate about, but people look down upon the skilled trades. Waitresses, haircutting, massage therapy, all of these things that we don't realize that not only do we need people fixing our roads, our houses, cutting our hair. These are essential services that we will need for the rest of our lives.
When you went to George Brown, did you not notice there was a lot more guys and girls than going to George Brown?
Yeah.
Wanting to become trades?
Absolutely.
Now that you are an ambassador to World Skills, Skills Canada, like with me,
yeah.
Have you not noticed that we're seeing more men and women jumping in on this?
Yeah.
That we see Conestoga College, that there's a renovation class under my name. More kids, I say kids, okay? Only because I'm probably getting older, 29 times, see what happens. More kids I'm seeing get into this. So I'm having a problem with wondering what the hell's going on here. If we are seeing the drive of getting into the trades, then why do we have such a huge shortage?
Well, I think a part of it, you know, this, I think about this all the time when we talk about skilled trade shortages. I'll never forget, it was years ago, I think we were doing Homes Makes It Right. At this time, I was running job sites, so I wasn't really on camera as much. I was doing, you know, as a general on the job site. And I remember we were doing a school job. Remember in Brampton, we were doing a school, so we had the kids come out and help us. One of them said, I want to be an HVAC technician. I love this. He was helping out. He was working under Gary and Brian at the time. And I said, well, that's amazing. What school are you going to go to? He goes, well, my mom won't let me. My mom wants me to be a doctor, so I'm not going to be an HVAC technician because my parents won't let me. Back to square one, again, it starts from the very bottom. Yeah. We got to support the kids, like you said, in the schools, right at home, to get into the skilled trades. Just try a trade. Like you said, Skills Canada, World Skills. Go out there, work for someone with the summer. You might find a passion for the trade you didn't know existed.
So yeah,
Could this be a possibility that, because, I mean, on the planet, Google, what is it, worldmeter.com? This will tell you, you know, the fires that are burning around the planet, hectares being destroyed, desaltation. I can go on and on. I love this thing because it's actual fact. And as a matter of fact, it'll also explain how many people are on the planet today. Mm-hmm. How many people are on the planet?
Seven billion.
How many?
Something like 7 billion.
7.5, yeah.
8 billion people.
Yeah.
It's almost 8 billion. Check it out for yourself.
Estimated by 2060, we're supposed to reach 10.
Okay, and when we reach 10, now this isn't a whole different podcast. It's when we're at the tipping point. We've gone over food consumption, water consumption. we're in hell then. Before we get there, why is it we don't have enough trades? I still am having a big issue with this. JT.
There was a void in between. There was a void in between your age group where kids were told not to go to trade school. So let's say it was a decade, right? When I look at the people that I'm hiring, for example, I see a certain age group that keeps coming in and out. And there's one age group doesn't come in at all. And if they do come in, they're looking for a managerial position. I don't want to swing the hammer. Do you have something that's app-based? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I'm thinking to myself, there was at least a decade in between where, even in my upbringing as being South Asian, you're always told to be an accountant, a doctor, a lawyer, because that's where you need to be, right? So there was a void in between, and that's why I'm seeing what I'm seeing right now with the caliber of interviews I'm doing. I have 100% ads running through many platforms. And I have human resources on full time. And every time I'm interviewing these guys, I'm getting more and more information. So I think there was a void. So I either have the guys that are 40s or the 30s who are running their businesses. Then 20 goes, can you please hire me? I want to learn what has to happen here.
You just said it. It wasn't just one void. There was many voids.
Yeah.
So that was one. The other void, you know, mom and dad not telling their kids not to get in.
Right.
The void of the schools dropping because they had to cut costs when it comes into the schools. And they were terrified, by the way, terrified. I mean, I was standing there in, what was this, sheet metal class? No, this was carpentry class. One of the kids reached over to the bandsaw. We're cutting into wood. He's watching the teacher. Mike, what did he do?
Ooh.
He just grabbed the column. Remember, the bandsaw does this, right?
Yeah.
He grabbed the column to look over and see what the teacher was doing. Off his finger went.
Oh.
I don't think it was just about cutting costs. I think it was about insurance. I think it was about safety for children that they pulled this out of the school. So I'm going to give you some benefit there, and I'm talking about the government on this one. Then we had another void. And this void is what was really the big thing right now that I think a lot of people don't realize. The real contractors of the world are retiring. Mm-hmm. And they're retiring at a very fast rate. We're getting old. Our knees are sore, our backs are sore, and we're getting out of the business, and our kids really aren't jumping in it like we did.
Right.
So add all these voids together, and we've got nothing but a scenario that says we have a future issue. I think we're okay for infrastructure, and the only reason I'm gonna say we're okay for infrastructure, and I'm talking about streets, bridges, highways, etc., is because the government, since Harper, was in, you know, the prime minister, he put the money in infrastructure. Trudeau has continued to put money in infrastructure, which is brilliant. I hope we never stop doing this, because if we do, we're going to go into a depression, and that's my opinion, never mind a recession. For a moment, let's spend a little bit of time of what can we do right now to make a change. Michael.
Again, I think we got to look at the way we're talking to the kids. I'm talking growing up from elementary school all the way up to high school, and letting them know that the skilled trades is a viable option for their future. That is, I mean, we're scratching the surface here. We can expand so far on that, but I think that's where we gotta start, is saying, like, instead of, you don't wanna be in the skilled trades, you don't wanna get your hands dirty, it's that skilled trades are a viable option for you. You might find your passion in that. There's a lot of money in that. Not that we should always look at the money, but that seems to be a driving force.
JT.
I mean, you're right. It's basically scratching the surface. For us, I mean, you guys as the Holmes family has been doing a great job in obviously trying to, you know, recruit guys to come back on board and say, this is what you need to do. But I think it's not a thing that's going to happen overnight.
No.
We're looking at, you know, whatever it may be, half a decade to a decade before whatever we're training now actually comes out in the marketplace as experienced trades. So for contractors like us who have been around the block for a while, we're almost hesitant to recruit guys that are coming out of school, because we just know how the clientele is at the end of the day, right? So I'm looking at 5-10 years down the road. Whoever's learning now, 10 years down the road is the guy I want to hire, because he has 10 years worth of experience. Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the problem, is that we're not going to get that. So I'm sorry, I got to cut this short. You would not imagine that the time has just flown by, and we want to continue this subject. So I'm going to tell you right now, we are going to do this again, because we did not even touch how to solve this problem and what we can do. I'm going to say one thing though. You get what you give in life. I don't care what anyone says. You don't want to work, you're not going to get any money. You want to be spoiled, you're not going to get any money. You want to work hard, you want an opportunity for an awesome job, get in the trades. Why? Because when I build something, I stand back and go, I built that. I did that house. I did that house. I did that house. And I feel good about that. And I made good money doing it because I worked morning till night. And if you don't have that attitude, maybe you should go be in IT. I don't know. Am I saying something wrong? We'll see you next time on the next Holmes Podcast. Holmes on Holmes Podcast to make it right. Thank you, my son, Michael. Thank you, JT, from True Build Custom Homes.
Love being here.
And I promise you, we're doing this again. This subject is going to continue. This episode is brought to you by Improve Canada, Canada's largest home improvement center. Check out improvecanada.com. If you like the show, check out the episode page on makeitright.ca for more tips.